Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, the box office isn't set. There's no box office except what we make for ourselves. Unfortunately for Terminator Dark Fate, it wasn't a good outing for them. We're going to break it all down next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Oh, it's a slow clap leading us into a new episode of Box Office Breakdown. Oh, you're too...
That movie quoting was just, I was like...
Oh, gosh. Oh, Gary, please, yeah. Please. Folks, welcome to the show. This, of course, is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we...
Brie, are you with me?
Yep.
Prague.
Nah.
Stay.
Kate.
Oh, woo!
Beautiful. About the box office that lie ahead, I am Frank Moran.
What's up? Carrie Lane here.
Look at that. Welcome back, Carrie.
Thank you. And then I like your episode last week or so, and then they were like, Frank's talking to a ghost.
That's right. It was it. It was just...
Brie, you're just a ghost, apparently.
I mean, it was Halloween week, so...
That's appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, no one knows that I didn't die, and now I'm just alive again.
Yeah. You're in the digital mainframe.
Yeah, I'm a digital
totally
ghost.
Yep.
There you go. And our lovely and talented Amy Cassandra Martinez is under the weather today, so, you know... Send her your well wishes on social media. I really think it's, as I told her, it's because she's scared to do a new box office bet. A little worried about losing.
I mean, she did lose this week, didn't she, from what we gave her?
Yeah.
I mean, she bet $30 million on Heart of Dogs.
I mean, she went high.
It was foolish.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she, you know Amy.
Yes.
There's one thing we know about Amy.
Optimistic.
Yeah, that's right. She likes to swing for the fences. Folks, and of course, my ghost, Brie in the booth.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
I was like, wait, what are you talking about?
Now I kind of want to like have a whole persona of a ghost. Like,
ooh.
Hello.
As always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And, of course, Carrie's got the chat up and running.
Yes.
So get in there. Share your thoughts about anything that we're talking about or just movies in general. And, Carrie, if they're watching after we stream live, what can they do?
Yes, Frank. You can comment down below. I was getting ready to do the give a thumbs up in your screen, and then that didn't seem to happen.
That's true. I just blew it. Like, but if you're subscribing, we got a, of course, it's a long-running bit. If you're subscribing on YouTube, give it a thumbs up. Or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5
Yay!
Or 6. There we go. We got to have those thumbs going. Yes.
Yay.
Absolutely. So, folks, we're going to be talking about lots of movies. Between Carrie and myself, she's seen tons of films. I've seen far less. But
I got busy this week seeing movies. It's like I've been slacking a little bit.
One that we've both seen, though, is Terminator Dark Fate.
Yes.
So at the end of the episode, we'll give some general thoughts at the top. But at the end of the episode, we'll do a nice spoiler deep dive about it. And we'll give you time to bail out if you'd like to keep that spoiler free for yourself if you haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Sounds good.
Yes. But speaking of Terminator Dark Fate, it was a underperforming week at the box office, but it was still enough for it to get number one. So Terminator Dark Fate.
It is a kind of long-running franchise and all.
That's true.
Have you seen all of the Terminator movies?
I have.
Same. I haven't seen the show, though. I didn't watch the show.
I caught a couple episodes, but I didn't watch the whole thing.
There was a show?
Yeah.
The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
And I'm blanking on the actress's name, but it's the character River from Firefly.
And Brian Austin Green, folks. Let's not forget
that
about
was my
him.
Like how I knew about it. But I, was like, I mean, it looks cool.
Who
but I
played
just never got to it.
Michael Biehn's brother? I believe is in the show. Yeah,
he was
Kyle Reese's brother that came back in time. But folks, Terminator made $29 million.
That's pretty low for a big action blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
Did either of you see it?
We did. We're talking about it at the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
But what the overall
ghost,
thoughts?
She,
though
drifted off.
Yes. Overall thoughts on the film?
I thought it was pretty cool. It is like the roller coaster of running and pause, and a friend of mine, she posted that for her, not saying myself, had never really been into the Terminator franchise, but really enjoyed this one and liked the idea that this might be a first action movie for some young kids and seeing like this three strong female leads in different kinds of strength be the leads. She was excited for that, like next group of people seeing it. And I thought that as well while I was watching, like, oh, this would be cool for a lot of people of like not seeing themselves on screen, kind of, though technically they did do a good job in representation, but there's still like some stuff where I was like, wait a minute, hold on. But overall, I really enjoyed it, and I thought the action was cool. I liked what happened. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily like stand out in the sense of, oh my gosh, bestest ever. I'm like, no, but it's a cool action movie. I'm like, yeah, it was fun to see on the big screen. And I like the characters. I like their dynamics. And yeah. What about
you, Frank? I mean, if you're looking at a Terminator film, and Arnold, other than just having a little brief cameo in Salvation, has been in every other Terminator film. This is the first time since T2 that Linda Hamilton has come back.
Yeah.
So do you feel that this counts as like a... Does this feel more like it belongs as a Terminator film because it has Linda Hamilton? She's really pretty much the only kind of thing that's different.
Right. And I liked her being part of that world because technically if she changed the future, that makes some of the other movies... I'm like, the timelines and stuff is where it gets like, well, hold on. Also, not a spoiler, but like these Terminators or the people who come back, if you know how you can fight your enemy, I think you go for whatever that is first or try to bring something with you.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll discuss further if you have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah, no, I liked her in it. I just had the momentary thought that I don't think I was thinking it when I watched the movie, but technically shouldn't Arnold not age? Like, if he is a Terminator, like, and he's not the kind that can change his, like, essentially skin, you know?
I mean, I guess the conceit is, and I think they touched on it a little bit this in the Genesis.
Oh, I guess if it's, like, organic, then it changes. Okay, it that was ages. Air quotes for people listening. Yeah. I was like, well, but yeah.
I mean, I guess having her back in the film made it feel more like a Terminator film. As opposed to her not being in the other one. So, I mean Sarah Connor was kind of in Genesis, but Linda Hamilton, seeing her back in.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Unbelievable. Like, I felt that is what would happen with that character if what her timeline was happened the way it did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the movie was fine.
Yeah, Anthony in the chat, surrounded by living tissue. Yeah, I guess I forgot that technically his skin is alive, but... Sorry. Go ahead.
And it just gets old.
It does.
It just gets old.
But it's okay. Hey, no ageism here. I did like that they technically have like older characters as fighter characters because that doesn't happen all that often.
No, it's very true. I feel like there were questions about like the time travel stuff and
always is
things that were things that were changed and yet things that were still the same.
Right.
So things we'll dive into more towards the end of the episode. I guess I'm kind of bummed because it's, now that you have Linda Hamilton back as Sarah Connor, you're like, all right, cool. I'd like to see what's next. And I know they're trying to set this up as a new tentpole, but given the underperformance of this film, both domestically
probably won't.
And internationally,
yeah,
I just feel like, again, it's going to be, I mean, they tried to start it with Genesis, where they're teeing up a new kind of multi-part film series, and that failed. Now they've got this Terminator Dark Fate, trying to set up another one. And then I feel like if this one can't make it work, then what's the hope of it?
What's the incentive to, like, make more? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it does, like, as it's been out for a while, or if it's one that people are, like, running to Redbox or streaming to watch it.
I mean, it's a shame. I mean, and this one is... I mean, James Cameron talked a little bit about Genesis, even though he didn't have anything really to do with it, but he spoke highly of it, and the film didn't do well. And then now he was more involved in the writing and producing of this film.
Do you feel you noticed a difference?
It's, because I think James Cameron, I mean, say what you will about how fantastic, how great, just as a film in and of itself, Titanic or Avatar are, as just sound films in and of themselves. He knows how to tap into the audience at that moment to get and just tap in and make them want to watch these films. I mean, whether you like it or not, whether you like those films or not, you have to admit that those two films...
They both have big audiences, for sure.
And they did incredibly, incredibly successful. But that you're getting the full James Cameron there. You're getting him writing, directing, producing the whole thing all the way through the end. I feel like if you're only getting a part of James Cameron, then I don't know if you're really getting... the film can be as successful.
Fair.
So, but it is a bummer. I wish it had done better.
Well, actually, spinning it the other direction, Jody in the chat said, I read somewhere that Terminator failed because it's a girl power film. What do you think happened? Now, you could spin it the other way and say that audiences there are the audiences that definitely would want to see that, and then some who might not be like, oh, it's mainly like female leads making a voice to insinuate that's a dumb way to do it, because I don't care. Like, I wouldn't, for me as a viewer, I don't care what color the person is on screen, what sex they are, whatever. Like, if it's a cool film, I'll want to go watch it. But I know there are some people that maybe are like, well, I don't know about it.
You know, and it's, I mean, those are the sort of people that when the Ghostbusters reboot came out. They're
like, oh, it's automatically like, I don't want to see it.
But that frustrates me because probably, I would think for overall, probably the most popular Terminator film is Terminator 2. I think with a mass appeal. I mean, I think people kind of, in terms of their favorites, they may vary between Terminator and Terminator 2. But I think probably just as a universal appeal, I feel like Terminator 2 probably just as overall popular film.
Right.
But that's Sarah Connor's story. I mean, and you're tracking her through this whole thing. So, I mean, she's a predominant character. She's the thrust of that film. So to say like, oh, wait, now they're having all these women in this film. That seems crazy to me because Terminator 2 right there, the one that audiences think of the most popular one. I mean, she's a focal point on that film.
I think also a couple people have chimed in that it doesn't necessarily matter. That's not necessarily who the leads are, but it's just a story that's been rehashed. And I'm like, yeah, it is exactly the same. It is a very similar story. And it's one of those like, okay, there was nothing really new with that. Also, what about the fact that, like, all things considered, there's not huge names in it to pull people in? Because a lot of people, they need that. They want like that person. They know who it is.
True. I mean, and I guess it's tough when you've got a franchise that's this long, is that you want to see the Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. You want the Schwarzenegger, as I call him. You want to see the Linda Hamilton. You want to see that. I would think you probably need somebody that's can take an idea and make it their own. So say like Ryan Coogler with Krieg. Mm-hmm. It's spinning out of the Rocky franchise. And we've had so many of those Rocky films, so we kind of know what it is. But you bring in a director that can still make that film fresh and entertaining. And it did extremely well. So I think if you could bring in a director of that vision into a franchise like that, that they could tweak it in such a way that it can still, while it's a familiar premise, still feels fresh.
Well, speaking of fresh, I think we need to move on to the next movie.
Oh, it's fresh. Which, folks, you're big fans of Joker. And we know that. We know that you love Joker.
We've seen it.
As well as the box office continues to deliver there. So for our second week, for another week, it's number two, $13.9 million.
Now it is also the highest rated R grossing film, right?
It is, yes. So look at that guy go. Yeah, you know? over $900 million going strong. I know there was a discrepancy last week about who we reported last week that Joker just narrowly edged out Maleficent, Mistress of Evil last week. But once the final numbers came in on Monday morning, it turned out that Maleficent ended up just edging out the Joker.
All right.
To really take the true top spot. So
I'm wearing my Maleficent t-shirt.
A correction for that one. Speaking of Maleficent, that came in at number three with $12.1 million. And you finally got a chance to see it.
I did. I went and saw it. I was like, well, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I do think it helps build upon the first one. And I like that they explored the Fae world a lot more. And that the other Dark Fae that she's part of, that there's essentially around the world ones, like essentially how there's different birds around the world. Some of them have different wings. And I'm like, that's so cool. And I like that they built a world upon it because it made sense. Like, okay, how can you take something real world and then add that fantasy to it? The only thing that kind of was unfortunate is, I mean, the movie is maybe, air quotes, geared towards younger audiences. And so they make so many things just so black and white of like, clearly bad guy, clearly good guy. And I wish they had made the bad character a little not so obvious right away, because then you feel like, how have the other characters not figured this out yet? Like, it's so obvious. But besides that, I'm glad it doesn't take too long for Elle Fanning's character to go, things are not quite right, and like do something about it. But I wish that had been sooner. I wish she had a little more faith in Maleficent of not this random new person telling you, like, she did it. I would have wanted a little more doubt, because it could have kept the same storyline, everything, but she could have had a little bit like, okay, sure. Like, just a little more hesitation would have made that easier. and not so, oh my gosh, we hate all of you, and one bad one has done something to our people, and so we hate all of them. Like, that felt so childish, and I feel they could have made it an even better movie if they just elevated the intelligence of it a little bit more mm-hmm. and made a little more dimension to the characters. Because, I mean, I understand the one character, Maleficent, had a history of issues with humans. Like, fell in love with a human, screwed her over. I understand her going, okay, there's a problem. But she should do a little bit more like, I understand this one is good. Doesn't mean I automatically trust the others instead of they're all evil. Yeah. And you're like, oh, come on. So that was a little bit like, I had to suspend my disbelief and, oh, it's so pretty and all the cool things. And also, if you haven't seen it, not really a spoiler, but man, their battle attack plan of people who can fly was idiotic. It was as bad as Game of Thrones battle scenes towards the end that you're like, what? I'm like, I've never been in war, but I understand the tactics here are poorly laid out. So that was just really like hard to watch of like, oh,
yeah, that last battle scene.
It just, was so dumb.
It just takes a long time and it's not great.
Yeah. It was visually cool, but it just made them look like idiots. Like, let's attack in the middle of the daytime. They have no idea we're coming, but let's like make it obvious you can see we're coming. But whatever. I do think Angelina Jolie was really... I think she's great as Maleficent. I think she has that poise. And there's actually a lot of humor. I noticed I was laughing a lot more out loud than some of the other people in the audience. So I like those little moments of humor in it. The interesting thing... Other weird things. And yes, we notice little details when we watch movies. One, I thought it was awesome later when she has her hair down, and I wish that look could have stayed with it because it makes it more freeing, I think. Like, because I think how she has her hair normally pulled back and everything like that is more uptight, and so I like the it's wild and free, which happens later in the movie. Also, whatever bandaging they did made it look like she had a giant boob breastplate. It looks so awkward. I'm like, okay, I know she's like can be curvy woman in different parts of her career for sure, but if you haven't seen it, it's like a breastplate that is like out here, and it's supposed to be bandages. So I was like, okay, that was a little weird.
It was at the end of the film when she's saying her goodbyes to Elle Fanning and Prince Charming, or what, Prince Philip.
Oh, and immediately everybody's like, oh, war's over, we're besties, everybody. Yeah.
But it's also like, are you leaving? It's like, oh, you'll see me again at the, was like the baptism or whatever.
Oh, the christening.
Like, the christening. Just like, it basically is like, I know you guys are about to get it. Oh.
That was a little weird too. I'm like, okay, mom character.
Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it has its faults. Like, if you like the first one, check out the second one, but maybe it'd be a streaming one or, you know. Cheap matinee.
Did you feel, I mean, in this age of sequels, that this was a necessary sequel?
No. I liked the first one. I liked that they gave her a backstory and everything. But this is less about Maleficent, and it's more about the daughter. And I mean, but it is the bridging of different peoples and everything like that. But again, they could have done that better without being so childish. Be like, oh. There are ways to do family movies that are not boring or simplistic for the adults, but still digestible for the kids. So, rant over.
Coming in number,
we're talking about the second Maleficent movie, by the way, if some people are like, what are they talking about?
Coming in number four is another new film came out this week. It was Harriet, based on Harriet Tubman and her life. Came out from Focus Features, made $12 million. So, a nice solid outing for a film like that.
I have not seen it, but the trailer looks really cool, and I want to. I just hadn't gotten to it yet.
And rounding out our top five is our animated feature that did much better several weeks in the box office than the new animated feature that we did our box office bet on. That is The Addams Family.
They're still hanging on.
Yeah, look at them go. They made another $8.49 million. Now, we did our box office bet while Carrie and Amy were away last week. But don't worry, we included you guys in on the
bet. I know,
that
right?
That was the kind of thing that we could do. We did it for Arctic Dogs, and both Bree and
it looks cute.
We were sweating about doing this one. But Brie and I's bets were both $10 million apiece.
We were being generous, apparently.
We were being extremely generous. But the most important thing, though, is that we tied. There's no winners. There's no losers. There's just, I think, just a sigh of relief that neither of us have to go see this film. Because this film made a whopping $3.1 million at the box office.
Woo!
3.1.
Yeah. Ouch.
Those poor little puppies.
Oh, you guys. So, yeah. So that is it for our top five and our box office bet. But you know what? The box office bet doesn't stop, though, Carrie.
No.
It's every single week.
It is.
And now Carrie's back in the mix, too. Whew, gives us a little bit more cover, which is good.
A little bit.
Yes. So we'll be doing a bet towards the end of the show on a film that you folks are going to choose there in the chat. And we've got a few films for your consideration. We've got Last Christmas, Midway, Dr. Sleep.
Sorry, side note. Did you see the trailer for the new Kingsman too? Kingsman?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. Side note. Yes, those movies. I think all of them. I'm like, yeah.
There you go. I mean, sadly, there is one film coming out next week. It's a very limited release, so we won't be covering it for box office bet. But the name of it is fantastic. And it's Mr. Toilet, the world's number two man. So it's a shame
we'll
be doing that. But Last Christmas, Midway, or Dr. Sleep.
Okay, it's too early for a Christmas movie.
There you go. So
too early.
Start betting away. Start voting away there in the chat.
Choose then whatever movie you would like us to vote on. Do not be dissuaded by any leanings of any such kind.
Carrie, which film are you least excited about?
I know, right? Dr. Sleep. Yeah, I don't want to see that at all.
No. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Star Drew's already... Trying to manipulate it in the chat. Don't choose Dr. Sleep. Guys, think for yourself.
Yeah. Thank you, live chat. We love you.
Now, before we move on to other stuff, Carrie, you...
I saw a whole bunch of other movies. I was excited. I was like, I'm catching up. Yes. On Netflix, Dolemite. Oh, my gosh. That was really good. I did not know much about that character at all, and I didn't know much... about the movie. I just knew a lot of my friends were excited about it. It is a biopic. Biopic or biopic? We had that discussion on the
biopic.
Show, I think.
I'm a biopic, man.
I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was very funny. After working in films, I really appreciate the process of how they're making a movie. It's very funny. And the end, they have like the information of like how the movie went and everything like that, and then also real clips from the original real movie, which that was really cool to see how much they emulated it, you know. And so I do highly recommend go check out Dolemite. It's very well done, it's very entertaining, and again very interesting, especially if you know nothing about it. That I'm like, I know the time period, but I was like, didn't know that character. Nice. Yeah. Yash in the chat said Dolemite was funny as hell. I'm like, yeah, it was very entertaining, like funny. Also, yes, I do recommend. I highly recommend. I think anybody had enjoyed it. It's just an interesting and entertaining movie. Mm-hmm. Also, I finally saw Mary Poppins Returns, which is very cute. We were talking about that, and Frank looks like, so wait, you did see that one?
I did see it.
But you had never seen the original.
I never saw the original. Okay. But didn't it just...
Did it need to be made? No. Is it for the next generation? I guess. But I would hope anybody who appreciated the first one would show their kids or whoever the original as well, because they complement each other, because it is the people later in life.
I was about to say, I don't think it can be the next kid generation, because it is like they directly reference the original so many times. Like, I guess you could, but it probably wouldn't be as...
Yeah, exactly, because they're just like, these are those kids grown up.
So don't be like Frank. Don't just watch the second
one. No, that's... But still, I mean, the fact, and this bothered me, and I know I talked about it when it first came out, seeing it, but one of my least favorite tropes is kids that have a fantastical adventure and then immediately forget it. When they become adults, they're like...
Well, they have a whole thing about that as you grow older... I mean, hey, it's like baby geniuses that you know everything when you're a baby, and then it goes away.
Until you rediscover fun within yourself. Yeah. Like, oh, come on.
I wish they had a little bit more of it would fade, that it would feel a little bit more like a daydream, but not so much like, no, that's impossible. That can't have happened. I wish they would have a little bit more like... Did it? Like a little more belief in it. I agree of it. If they have the complete like, no, that's impossible. But they address that in the movie too. But anyway, it's cute. Also, if you're still wanting that horror movie itch, one that was kind of a cool that I saw it on my queue. It's a Indian film called Game Over. So it's technically South Indian, but they dubbed it in Hindi, so you can't watch the original language, which is unfortunate because there's scenes where it's like, I know I'm reading the subtitles, but their mouths do not match what the audio is. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. But it's like Home Invasion, but there's more to it. Because all the things that are really cool about it, I would have to spoil it. And I'm like, I'll be doing a review video on just this movie, and I'll have like the first half be like, this is what's cool, and then be like, stop now. Because it takes other levels, which are really interesting, but those would be, unfortunately, spoilers. But it's a cool home invasion movie that about a woman who's a game programmer and eventually gets stuck in her home, and there's like a murderer going around killing people, and like, what can she do about it? So I thought that was actually really good. And much more satisfying than I recently watched The Witch and The Lodgers, which were very unsatisfying horror movies. I felt this was much more satisfying. And I'm like, I'm not done yet. I'm sorry, everybody. One Piece has a movie, One Piece Stampede. It's an anime film. It was recently in theaters. I think it's still doing a run for a little bit, or check your local listings. If you have never seen the series, you can actually enjoy the movie. It does not matter because it's a standalone film. If you have watched the series, absolutely, you'll appreciate the characters and the references and such. But it's like an entertaining standalone. It's a pirate gathering, and there's something more sinister going on. But it's a lot of action, comedy, and yeah. And it's okay if you've never seen the show because it's like 900-something episodes. That don't worry. I've never seen the show, and I still like the movie.
Oh, nice. All right.
Anyways, oh, no, someone said, okay, just because it's an Indian movie, rewinding back to Game Over, it does not mean it is a musical one. It's just regular. There he goes. Neil says, Home Invasion with songs? No, it's just a regular movie. It just happens to be, it's a South Indian movie. So
I'm breaking the window and smashing it my way in. Blah, blah, blah. There you go. Great
no,
musical.
Stop.
Nope. All right.
And then also go check out Japan Cuts Hollywood. That was a film festival this past weekend. I told you I saw a lot of movies. Saw Talking the Pictures. It's a movie about when silent films first started in Japan, they had a narrator talk over the film to be the audio, like what was happening and the people's lines, or they'd have multiple people. Oh no, it's super funny. Because while they are acting, they go blah blah blah, blah bitty blah blah, because they know someone's gonna be talking over their lines later. And I was like, that's hilarious. And so it's about this guy. Yes. And then it's a guy who wants to grow up and be one of those narrators. And it's very funny. It's a little long. It's like a 2-hour movie and it feels long, but it's still really good. A Stranger in Shanghai, it's about a real Japanese writer and his journey to Shanghai. And it's more like segments of his life, but from most of it's actually his writing, which was really good. And one more, It Comes. It's a horror film. It's really good, but it's like 2 hours and 17 minutes that you're just like, oh, we're still going? But it was entertaining and pretty scary.
Oh, yeah. So anyway. Just a few films. Just a few films.
Kim. Y'all are like, hey, you haven't watched any movies. I'm like, nope, this week. I caught up.
Holy cow.
Anyway.
Yeah, take a nap.
Okay. Yes, sorry, Frank.
All right, folks. We're going to jump right into what we think next week's top five is going to be. And then, folks, keep voting away there in the chat about which film you'd like us to do the box office bet on, whether it's Last Christmas, Midway, or Doctor Sleep. All right. So we've got those three entering the fray, along with our top five from this week. Terminator, Dark Fate, Joker, Maleficent. I feel like the time has come for Addams Family Values
think that will drop off.
But do you see any of them dethroning Terminator, Dark Fate?
It was Last Christmas and...
Last Christmas, Midway, and Doctor Sleep.
I think Doctor Sleep could get up there. Because also, star power, Ian McGregor, there's still quite a few who like him.
True. I mean,
still, I'm sorry. I don't mean it like that. Still.
It's pretty much a sequel to a very popular film.
And Stephen King audiences, that's built in kind of too.
Yeah. So.
And it's I was going to say thriller. I'm like, well, even from the trailer, it's a little more than just a thriller.
Yeah. It's, I'll be curious to see how this is because I mean, I've heard that this is both a sequel to the book as well as the film. It kind of tries to bridge the gap between them.
Yeah.
And to how successful that is, I think will vary
we'll
to
see.
The individual.
Yeah.
So I
mean, I think it could, well, it doesn't have to go far to win.
No, that's true. It's one of those that, I mean, we're talking about like Terminator Dark Fate. I mean, this is, of course, a film that a franchise has already had multiple sequels to it already. Now we're talking about going back even further to a film and making a sequel of that. Is it?
But are the sequels better when it's been a longer time?
Yeah, but I guess it all depends. Because
then you're not burnt out. But then it is like is this interest still there?
I mean, I'd like to think so. So, I mean, I'm willing to go out and say Dr. Sleep could be number one. I think there'd still be enough interest in The Shining, even though it's post-Halloween. But I still think there'd still be interest in that film. That it could still do number one.
I think so.
I don't see Midway doing much. I could see Last Christmas, maybe.
I think that is a audience in and to themselves, of the people who love Christmas movies, Hallmark movies, decent leading characters for that as well. So, that might be like five.
I mean, I could go Dr. Sleep. I could go Last Christmas as number two. I could think that even though it's very early into the Christmas season,
some people are ready.
There is, I don't know, there's going to be a sucker for that. I mean, people are saying like as soon as, you know, it's 12:01 on November 1st, boom, it's Christmas time, baby. So I can see that coming in second. I'll go Terminator Dark Fate number three, Joker four, and I guess I'll just go.
Wait, where'd you put Dr. Sleep?
Number one.
One, okay.
Yeah.
I'll do I think you're right, of Dr. Sleep, Christmas, and then bump everything down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. Folks.
Did you think The Shining was scary?
You know what? I've never seen it the whole way through.
You haven't?
I never
oh
have.
Oh my goodness. There you go. Leave a comment. Have y'all seen The Shining, and do you think it's scary? I do not think it's scary. I mean, it's a good movie, but I didn't find it scary.
Yeah, probably the most I've seen of that film has been in Ready Player One. So I know. I
gotta get it together. Oh my gosh, then you have to watch it because that part was so good because of that.
So folks, we're getting ready for our box office bet. Yes, this is the film that you in the chat are voting on right now. Whichever film gets the most votes, we will do our box office bet. We will predict what we think the opening box office total of that film will be. Person that's closest will be the prognosticators. The loser will have to go see that film and tell us all about it. So I'm going to look to our
What's our numbers in the chat there?
Our boy Ken Jack. See if
looks
he's there.
Looks like he said Last Christmas was winning.
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas.
Sure.
Woo, baby. All right.
Well, a couple people are saying, The Shining was scary. I'm like, no.
Okay, Last
Christmas.
I mean,
it's psychological thriller.
I mean, also for the time.
True. But I mean, like, if
the... Like, I don't find Psycho scary, but for the time, it was terrifying.
Yeah, no, I don't find that one scary.
All right. Last Christmas, directed by Paul Feig.
1-4.
All right.
Okay. Well, wait, we both said 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've literally heard nothing about this.
Really? I mean, Last Christmas, I gave
I've seen
heart.
Lots...
I know Mariah Carey's song, Frank. Right. I've never heard anything about this film.
It's, Game of Thrones and Crazy Rich Asians.
Correct.
Yep.
Emilia Clarke and Henry, whatever his name is. But
I know, I'm like, my brain.
But I've also, people are very, are speculating a lot about this film. Is one of them a ghost? Is one of them?
Oh, just from the trailers?
Yes. Like, what's the deal for this? So, I'll be curious to see what this is. Last Christmas, we got Brie.
Okay, hold on. Henry Golding.
There we go.
I think the question is, they're both well known, but are they enough to get a lot of people to go check it out? But there are people that love Christmas movies. No offense, not to say anyway.
I feel like
they're fun. I feel it's still a little too early for me. But if you want to celebrate Christmas now, go for it if it makes you happy.
I mean, I feel like this has been getting a lot of play. So all right. I will go. All right. We'll see.
Stardew's calling out that saying that it's not a Mariah Carey song. It's a Wham song. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say
most people know it was Mariah Carey.
And I doubt many people know it.
Yeah.
All right. Carey, you got a bet? I'm wavering between two numbers.
Jody says, no, it said it's George Michael. But I would agree with you of well-known people know it from Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey has taken it. She literally has a commercial out now for Walker's
yes!
hips with it.
Well, she has a TikTok of waking up of like, it's Christmas. And it's right away, I'm like, oh my gosh, too soon.
All right. Okay. Bree, you've got your number?
Yes.
All right. Bree, kick us off. What do you got? I'm scared.
I'm going to go with 14.75.
Ooh, 14.75. All right. Okay. All right. That's a respectable bet. Carrie, what do you got?
16. What do you have, Frank?
Dang it. 16 for Carrie. I was wavering between 16 and 17. And then I was like, hey, you know what Bree does? She often throws in those decimal points. So I went 16.5.
Oh! I almost went 16.75. But last minute, it was like, you know, I think Dr. Sleep will take more.
All right. So this... I'm going to be sweating this one out here.
So they're all saying it's All I Want for Christmas. No, I'm still here. I'm hearing Mariah Carey in my head with that song.
Yeah, same.
And Wham. I hear the Wham one, though, too.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, folks, we're going to do this real quick. We'll have about 3 minutes to do a little rapid-fire, spoiler-filled intake, in-depth thing of... not in-depth, but at least
momentarily.
Yeah. Spoiler-filled thoughts on Terminator Dark Fate. So, folks, if you want to hop out now, thanks for joining us. Like us on Facebook. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a bunch of thumbs up while you do there. And if you want to stay in touch with any of us even after the show's over, Bree, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Bree, Bri_Phipps, Phipps.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. All right, here comes the spoilers. So, Terminator Dark Fate.
I don't know if I would have what I would have made shorter, but I know it like shifted a little too much from time to time. Of like, it was still exciting, but it was like there were moments where I'm like, okay, action, but now we slow down.
I mean, the mechanics of the story is that we find out John Connor gets killed at the beginning. So like, all right, which I felt like at this point, you know, I guess the franchise...
I was okay to change that. I was like, sure.
If you're trying to reinvent this franchise,
yeah.
To be able to kind of get away from John Connor seems to be your only option at this mm-hmm. point. Because it feels like Edward Furlong is not something that you're going to be able to kind of invest in this franchise going forward.
So how cheesy was it for the you're going to be the mother of the guy who saves, and no, it's not that, it's you.
Yeah.
I like that change. I'm like, sure, like why can't it be them? But it was a little, like, heavy. And nobody ever goes, like, well, why can't it just be her? You know? So that was a little bit like, oh.
Yeah, okay. I mean, because the idea is interesting where it's you give Sarah and John their win.
Yeah.
They've stopped Skynet, which is great. So that conclusively has stopped them.
Yeah.
So that means the future gets changed.
Yeah.
Cool. But now this sets up the premise that just because they stop Skynet doesn't stop somebody
else
from kind of inventing AI in their pocket, and that ends up going wrong.
Yeah.
So we've got the Rev 9, which is what Gabriel Luna plays.
Yeah.
What I'm kind of bummed is like, it's a terrible thing because it's a Terminator franchise, so you want to see the familiar scale, you know, the robotic skeletons.
Oh.
But then you're also thinking too, it's like if it's a totally different thing, would they also make robotic skeletons?
And if also they hate humans, why would they make it so humanoid? But I did like when they had the battle sequences and the ones were a little more animalistic, like spider running. And they had like, that was cool and that made sense. I mean, for blending in, it makes sense for him to have a humanoid form. I did like the idea that the outer casing could be a body separate from the skeletal structure. I'm like, okay, that's kind of a neat way to like update it. And the skeleton can't change its shape, but the other part can, and then it can get back together. So that was cool, like to give it something new. But it was one of those, okay, if you know exactly what stops them, I think they would have been more ready for that kind of a thing. Because like, oh, come on. Like, really? Like, you know the whole time how to stop them? Like, I think I would have been like, can we get that item sooner?
Yeah, the one thing that really kind of frustrated me is that there was, at no point was there ever any talk about what is this creature? How have you stopped it in the past? What are our options? There never really was that talk about like...
Just have that you run. That's about all they did it pretty quick.
Yeah, it's like, well, no, that helps us in no way, shape, or form to actually try to stop this thing. Tell us what it's about. How can we beat it if we don't even know... We know that it splits, but okay, cool.
Yes, like our Danny, I think, should have asked those kind of questions more.
Yeah.
But I don't think she was necessarily like the super inquisitive kind. Like she was more like watch and observe.
Yeah.
I thought she was cool. I mean, I liked the characters and Trying to think of anything else that was like me.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting because I feel like this
I like that she does the destruction at the end.
Yes.
If she had not done it, I would have been like, I mean, it's one of those, yes, it's okay to have help, but I'm like, she has to do the kill blow. She has to. If it's not her, I'll be like, ugh. Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame because this film sets up a premise of seeing another Terminator film without Schwarzenegger in it. And it would have been interesting to see where that would have went.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get it, though. All right, folks. That's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. What a sad note to end it on. Will Arnold be back?
Probably not.
Also, by the way, just really quickly, they let us know in the chat that we forgot Amy's bet. So someone said she bets 200. Someone says she bets 50.
Oh, all right. Ouch. That's, those seem perfect. I love those. I'm actually writing those down. So we'll be fair though. We'll say 50. That seems fair. 200.
Sure. She 200's likes her crazy. Rom-coms.
Yes, that's true.
50's fair.
All right, folks. We'll go with 50 for Amy Cassandra Martinez. Nailed it. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We'll see you back here next Sunday.
See
ya. An all new episode right here on Popcorn Talk.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.